Well, a very good morning to everyone. I know last time we gathered together we had a character sketch, and we're going back there again today for another one. So it's two in a row, I apologise. But we're looking at the life of Joshua today, and we're going to be jumping around the place, and I've got a bit of material I want to cover, so I'm going to have to get cracking with my reading. Okay, so in the Old Testament, we know the story, and we've been through Moses, the plagues in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army perishing. You go along the track, the waters of Marah were healed, the bitter waters, and the Lord revealed his name, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He gave manna. What is it? He gave the Sabbath. At Massa and Meribah, there was no water, and Moses struck the rock and water poured out. That's where he was supposed to strike the rock, in Horeb. Okay, and this is where we pick up the story. We're having a discussion today about Joshua. And this is the first appearance of Joshua in the Bible. It's in Exodus 17, 8 to 16. I'll read it quickly. Basically, Amalek comes and picks a fight with Israel. And this is where Joshua appears in history. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went unto the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay, so we have the first point I want to bring to our attention, and that is that Joshua is the captain of the host. We have here in this story, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And a lot of these things we're going to come back to later on. So that's the first point. He was captain of the host. The next one is that Joshua was a minister. Now, we've turned things around in our culture, and we have minister as meaning someone who's in charge. Minister means to serve. So Joshua was a servant of Moses. In Exodus 24:13, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. And that word there is a primary root, shorath, meaning to attend as a menial or as a worshipper. And so Moses and Joshua went up into the mount, and they were there for 40 days and 40 nights. And we all know that Moses was there fasting. It doesn't say anything about Joshua, but it specifically doesn't say that he took a backpack full of 40 days worth of tucker with him. So we can assume that like Moses, Joshua was also fasting in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights as Moses' servant. Moses comes down because of the trouble in the camp, and Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, there is the noise of war in the camp. But it was not so. The people of Israel had corrupted themselves and made themselves golden calves. So we see Joshua as the captain of the host. We also see him as a servant, as the minister of Moses. Joshua was a consecrated man. In Exodus 33, God tells Moses to go up to the promised land and that he was going to send an angel to go in the midst of the nation of Israel, but he would not because they were a stiff-necked people. He was so upset with them, he said, you know, get thee out of here. Go to the promised land. I've had enough of you. I'll send my angel to go before you. I promised I would, but I'm not going with you. Okay? And Moses was told to pitch the tabernacle outside the camp. And it was a sign of God's displeasure with them. They had done something wrong. They'd done the wrong thing. And Moses went out to the tabernacle, and everybody stood in their tent and worshipped, and the cloudy pillar came down over the tabernacle when Moses went there. And in Exodus 33:11, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp." So after he'd been speaking to God, he turned back to the camp. "But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." And so we see Joshua staying behind in the tabernacle, wanting to be near God, wanting to be near the cloudy pillar, wanting to be a part of all of what God was. And so we see a consecrated Joshua, Joshua the young man. Let that be an encouragement to you, young men, to consecrate yourself to the Lord in your youth. Okay? Joshua was loyal. In Numbers, and ladies, young men and ladies. In Numbers 11, there's a story that Moses was not able to bear the responsibilities that was upon him. And he asked the Lord, could he lighten his load? And the Lord acquiesced. And the Lord said unto Moses, Numbers 11, 16, 17, "Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." And then he did so, and the story goes on, and he gathered the people. "And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the other one was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that was written, but went not into the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them.
Yeah.
And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And so Joshua was anxious for Moses. My Lord Moses, tell him to stop. This is your job. And Moses said, I love your zeal. I love your loyalty, but it's misplaced. I want everyone to be like that.
Right.
I want them all to be prophets. I want them all to dream dreams and see visions.
Yeah.
And I want God's Spirit on everyone. And so it should be today.
Amen.
So the zeal was good, but misguided. And he wasn't rebuked for that. You can see Moses' love and gentleness there. So his loyalty. The next one was Joshua was chosen. In Numbers 13:1-6, the Lord said to Moses, saying, Send men to search out the land of Canaan, men of every tribe, every one a ruler amongst them. And so Joshua was one of the 12 chosen men, and he was the leader of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, so he was chosen. That's the next part. He was a chosen man. Another thing, he's one of the very few men in the Bible that had his name changed. In Numbers 33:16, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Now, Hoshea means deliverer. In English, we have it as Hosea, Hoshea, and Hoshea. Okay, so that's, whenever you see those three names, that's the same Hebrew name. So that's what his name was, Hoshea, the son of Nun. And he changed it to Jehoshua, which means Jehovah saves. Okay, so his name before was salvation, but now Moses has changed it to Jehovah saves. Or Yahweh, however we choose to say that name. So he had his name changed, like Abraham, one of the few men in the Bible with a name change. Okay. The next one, we're going to read a bit of scripture here, and we kind of have to read a bit of scripture to get this story. But I've titled the next characteristic of Joshua as fear versus faith. Fear versus faith. So we're going to pick it up in Numbers 13:21, and we'll read to Numbers 14:31. And so the spies, these are the 12 men that were sent out, went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a cluster of grapes and bare it between two men upon a staff. And they brought pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched to the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw of it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come as giants. And we were as in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried, Oh no! And they wept that night. And all the children of Israel started to murmur against Moses.
What will you bring us here for?
And the whole congregation said unto them, Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke to the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade to stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed amongst them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear of it, for you brought them up, this people, in might from amongst them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art amongst this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring up this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I love this verse, I have pardoned according to thy word. Okay? He's going to wipe them out. And Moses intercedes and begs him, Oh Lord, you said you were merciful and great. And the Lord said, I have pardoned. Yeah. I've done it. Forgotten. Finished. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye, and get ye to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Okay, we'll just stop there. Okay, so Joshua and Caleb were it of above 20 years of age that were going to make it into the promised land. And I love that little speech there. I love that little speech of Joshua. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. God is with us. And I like to think that when he said, but my servant Caleb had another spirit, he also meant Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua. And those men that did bring up the evil report, they died by the plague before the Lord. Do you know the names? Shamua, Shaphat, Eagle, Palti, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Setha, Nahabi, and Geul. Do you know those names? I don't. They were the names of the 10 spies that died before the Lord. Were they wicked sinners? Were they exceedingly sinful men, murderers and destroyers of children and things like that? No. They were fearful men. Men who let fear fill their hearts and fill their minds and ignored faith. Were they wicked men? No, they weren't. They were just fearful men. Whereas, who knows the names? Joshua and Caleb.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, we know those names. They were men of faith. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. And today, I want us to grab hold of that. The Lord is with us.
Amen.
Fear them not. Okay. Joshua becomes the leader of Israel instead of Moses. Moses is not allowed to enter into the promised land. And it says in Deuteronomy 1:38, Joshua the son of Nun, which stands before you, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So Joshua becomes the new leader of Israel. In Deuteronomy 34:9, it says that Joshua is filled with the Spirit. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So the next one is filled with the Spirit. Joshua was a man filled up with the Holy Ghost, filled up with the Spirit of his Lord and God whom he loved. The next one, Joshua was filled with the Word. Not only was he filled with the Spirit, but he was filled with the Word. When we read in Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites under the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay? The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. As Jonathan shared with us this morning in the devotional, we need to commit our way to the Lord. We need to see his word to what we do, and then he will make our way prosperous. The best thing for any man or woman is this, to observe to do according to all that is written in God's word. When we sigh and cry for the abominations that we see around us today in Australia, are we a part of the problem? Are we a part of the problem? Have we watered down God's word and made it culturally relevant to fit our culture? Or have we endeavoured to do with all our heart according to all that is written? And I would encourage you all to claim verse 9 as a promise for you. Personalise it. Make it yours. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What a promise. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, next we have Joshua is prudent. Joshua was a prudent man. In Joshua 2:1, he sent out spies secretly to Jericho. And we have the story of Rahab, and we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Remember the first time the spies were sent? That was that big scripture we just read. And the consequences of what happened with those other 10 spies? Was Joshua trying to avoid a possible problem? He sent out 2 spies and he sent them out secretly. Didn't tell anybody who was doing it. Okay, that's the first thing. Did Joshua not want a repeat of last time's mistake? We don't know. It doesn't say. Okay? Also, let's note that he did not spy out the whole of the land of Canaan. He didn't. He just sent them to Jericho. He went to the first things first. He took the first little job that he had to do, and he went to spy it out. And I think there's a lesson for us there today. Keep our goals small and achievable. Sometimes I think the overwhelming big picture gets us down. What's the next thing that we need to do? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Thank you. Don't let the big picture overwhelm us. Okay. In the next one, Joshua let God lead. In Joshua 3, verse 3 and 4, he told everybody that when they started out to leave a gap between the Ark of the Covenant, which was going before them, and he said, Joshua commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And so the ark was to go in front, and they were to follow. And so God was leading. God was leading, and Joshua was willing to follow. How often do we go, I know which way I'm going. Yeah, I don't need you, God. I'm going. And then we smack into something. True. Okay? Yeah. And so we need to follow. We need to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, Joshua's humility. In Joshua 3, verses 7 to 10, God says to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, hereby shall you know that the living God is amongst you. And so God is telling Joshua, I'm going to magnify you today, Joshua. And Joshua turns to the people and says, today you're going to know that God is amongst you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go, hey, yeah, look at me. I'm someone. I'm just like Moses. Did you notice? I've got Moses' spirit. Everyone, you can do what I do. No, he said, God is amongst you. God is going to do something today. God is going before us. This is about God. This is not about me. Amen. And we see there Joshua's humility. Praise the Lord. What a godly example to us. You know, we have so much today in the Christian world that it's about their ministry, their giftings, their things, etc., etc., etc. And it's self. That's self. And that needs to go down and Christ needs to come up. Okay, miracles. God worked miracles by Joshua. Okay, do we all get that? God did miracles in Egypt. He did it through the hands of Moses and he does it today. In 3:13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off above from the waters of Jordan that come down, and they shall stand up as a heap. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground. Okay, when God works miracles, he doesn't need our help. It doesn't say that God almost dried up the Jordan. He just waded through, it was just waist deep. It didn't say that it was just knee deep and he kind of slogged his way through. He went through on the dry ground. He didn't get his sandals wet. Okay? Now, people have said to me, and I'm sure that you've read this, that the burning bush wasn't burning. It was an acacia in full flower. No, the burning bush was a burning bush. Okay? When Moses dried up the Red Sea, it was just because the Red Sea was shallow at that point and they walked through the shallow bit. I'm sure you've all heard the joke the same as I have. A preacher was preaching this and said there was no miracle there. He dried up the waters of the Red Sea. And a little old lady in the front row goes, praise the Lord! And he said, no, you don't understand. It was only 18 inches deep. There was no miracle there. Oh, praise the Lord! Look, lady, don't you get it? There's no miracle there. Praise the Lord! Why do you keep saying praise the Lord for? Well, he drowned Pharaoh's army in 18 inches of water. Okay, we're going to have a miracle one way or the other. Okay? And so, same thing with the River Jordan here. It was dry ground.
Yeah.
They walked over dry. It was a miracle. It wasn't because there was a landslide upstream and they walked through and that was... No, it was a miracle. So, God worked miracles through Joshua. Moving along. Stones of remembrance. In Joshua 4, verses 1 to 9... It came to pass, as the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out the middle of the Jordan, of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, one out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this might be a sign amongst you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and there are they unto this day. Okay, a memorial to God's faithfulness and care. Now we need to have memorials of God's faithfulness and care in our life as well, or we will forget and our faith will grow dim. In Deuteronomy 6, it said to talk. That's the other scripture where it says to talk of the word as you lie down, as you stand up, as you walk in the way. Because he says, when you get to the land where you're going and you have houses that you built not, vineyards that you planted not, olives that you've just inherited, lest you become, lazy, I guess, and forget the Lord your God. Okay? And there is a truth to that. We get complacent. We go, I'm well fed. I'm satiated. I'm happy. And we forget the Lord. And so Joshua here is raising up a memorial. What do these stones mean, Dad? What are these 12 stones here? Ah, son, let me tell you the story of those 12 stones. And so we need to do this. We need to, metaphorically speaking, raise up a pile of stones. Maybe your anniversary, the day that you met your wife, or the day that you got married. Not an anniversary of you, but an anniversary of what the Lord did in bringing you together.
Amen.
About when you bought your house, how he miraculously provided you with the finances that you didn't have. And you can remember that, or your little farm, or the job that you got, you really needed work and you got a job, or the day that you started a business, or any of these things. And there's ways that we can remember these things to build a pile of stones that we remember the Lord's deliverances. It's not about us. It's not about the thing that we got, or the wife or the husband. It's about the Lord and what he did, and remembering his work in what we have. Glorify God with us, not glorify us. Glorify not the thing, but God who gave the thing.
Amen.
Let us raise up piles of stones. Next, we have Joshua's courage. I'm going to have to stop reading some of these scriptures because I'm getting bogged here. I'm going to read it. And it came to pass as Joshua was by Jericho. So they've crossed over the Jordan. They're over by Jericho. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto him, "Loose thy shoe off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Praise the Lord. There's a man, big man, I imagine, with a big sword. And what does Joshua do? He has no idea what he's doing there and what his purpose is. He goes out to meet him. Does it say that he had 100 other blokes with him?
No.
Did he send 100 blokes out there and say, "Go get that fella and take that dirty big knife off him before he gets close to me"? No. He went out him, one man to one man. Are you for me or again me? Okay. He was a courageous man. Joshua was a courageous man. Okay. As Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Don't worry about the giants of the land. Like David, this giant, it'll be like a grasshopper. God will take care of him. I'll go meet him with my sling. Okay? And so too Joshua. He wasn't worried. Joshua's obedience. Joshua was particular to obey the Lord. We have the destruction of Jericho. God told Joshua that he needed to compass Jericho once a day for 6 days. The horns of the priests would go before the Ark of the Covenant, blowing them, and the people were not to speak. He had to do it once for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he had to go around it 7 times. Okay? And so Joshua was particular. He said, "Ye shall not shout." So I don't want any accidental taunts, catcalls, or insults being returned to those people on top of the walls. Silence. Okay? And so they did. "Nor make any noise with your mouth, neither say any word that will proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout." And then, shout. Okay? And they did that. They obeyed. Now, God said, "Don't shout." He didn't say all that other stuff, but Joshua was like, "Okay, everyone, not a word. Silence." And so they did. They walked around once. Silence. Sat down. Next day. Once. Just the horns. Honk, honk. Once. Silence. And then on the seventh day, they went around 7 times, and it said, "And it came to pass..." It came to pass in verse 20 of chapter 6. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And there's something beautiful about obedience. Remember the story of Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat got a word, this massive host of Ammonites, Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir had come up against Jerusalem, and they didn't have enough. They were just like a tiny city of people compared to this multitude. And the Lord said, I've delivered them. I've delivered them into your hands. You don't have to fight. The battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
And so they went out the next day. And when the people started, and when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir. And here we have the same thing. When the people shouted, the walls of Jericho apparently were 30 foot thick. 10 meters thick. And they fell down.
Yeah.
Okay? When the feet of the priests walked into a flowing river, then the river of Jordan was dried up. But it was when they did it. So, faith must have obedience. In James 2:17, it tells us that even so faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Is God speaking to you today on some subject? Is God speaking to you about some issue of worldliness, a bad habit, or something to repent of? Of course he is. He is to all of us. All of us are being changed into the Lord's image today. Okay? But how is our obedience? Yes, your head knows. Yes, your heart knows. But how is your will to obey? So our flesh and our physical eyes see the river in flood. Sees the 10-meter thick walls of Jericho. That's what our eyes see. But faith sees the promise of God. And obedience steps into the water, shouts out loud the victory, while our physical eyes still see the water or the walls. So it's an encouragement to us. We need to walk in obedience to what the Lord is putting on our heart. There will only be victory after obedience.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Joshua's compassion. Okay, we have the story of the everything in the city of Jericho was accursed. They were not to touch them. Everything was to be destroyed, and only the gold and the silver were to be taken into the treasury. But there was a man whose name was Achan, and he did something that he shouldn't have done. He coveted something that he saw and took it and hid it in his tent. So the next battle after Jericho was done was Ai. And Joshua sent out some spies to Ai. They come back and said, it's a little place. Don't send the whole army, just a few people. And so he did. Sent them over there. And guess what happened? The men of Ai came out and smote the Israelites. And 36 men died. Died. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the ground before the ark with dust on his head, he and all the elders. Wherefore all the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Oh no. It was this little town and they whooped us. What do we do? I love this verse here. I love this verse. It's God, the Lord God said, get thee up. Wherefore thou liest on thy face? Israel has sinned and has also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and dissembled also. They have played the hypocrite. Joshua 7, verses 10 and 11. Get thee up. What are you doing on your face? Okay? Oh, that we would get a strong conviction against the sin of hypocrisy. God sees everything.
Yeah.
We don't hide anything from God. Can we live in that revelation? We will have no power in our spiritual life to overcome sin when we play the hypocrite, secretly tasting, secretly looking. Let us put away the accursed thing, whatever that thing is. Mm-hmm. Let us live holy lives, whole and to be holy as he is holy. And there was a sad story to the consequence of the sin of Achan, and he was required to die and all of his things. And this is where Joshua's compassion comes in. And so they took the whole congregation up to Ai. And it says specifically that that night Joshua lodged amongst the people. He didn't sleep in his own tent. He went and lay down. He rolled his swag out in amongst all the people. And then the next morning, when they early in the morning and went up, he and the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. So the people were scared. The people were afraid. They had lost their first battle. So Joshua camped that night amongst them to encourage them. I'm here. And then he said, right, I'm walking in front of the army today. You're going to see me in the front of the battle. I know I'm an old man. I know I'm 60 years old or 80 years old, whatever I am, but I'm going before you. You don't need to be afraid. I'm here to have a compassion on you. I'm here to give you help. Okay? And so we see Joshua's compassion and his care for the people. His determination and commitment to the very end. In Joshua 24, 14 to 15. And possibly most of you might have this scripture, part of this scripture, on a wall in your house somewhere. I think ours fell off. Someone slammed the door too hard and it plopped off. It's on a wooden plaque. Now therefore fear the Lord, this is Joshua speaking, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it says, it drops down a couple more verses, verse 29. It came to pass after those things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Wow. What a commitment. 110. And he was saying, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He had children, grandchildren, and probably great-grandchildren on the ground. And he said, we're going to serve the Lord. Me and my house. What commitment. And he kept going to 110. Wow. Let us live in such a manner that we too can speak in such a way. And as Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And Joshua did. And so he was determined and committed to the end. So the last characteristic of Joshua was determination and commitment. What an example to us, a godly leader, courageous, committed, consecrated, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word, filled with faith. He was compassionate, he was obedient, he was humble, he was prudent, he was loyal, he was servant-hearted. He was a living prophecy of someone who would come after. And so we look at the life of Joshua, and that's actually half the story. Joshua is pointing us to someone. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jehoshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now in our English Bible, we don't have Joshua there. We have the word Jesus. Iesus, which is the Greek word that the English word Jesus comes from, is the name of our Lord, and it comes from a Hebrew origin, which is, guess what? Yehoshua. Okay? Now we know that Joshua is a contraction of Jehoshua. Okay? So like Greg is a contraction of Gregory. Okay? So when we shorten Jehoshua, we call it Joshua. Okay? So it's the same word. There's no different meaning in that. That's just the shortened version of Jehoshua. Jehovah saves. So we have the English version, which is Jesus, of the Greek version, which is Iesus, of the Hebrew version, which is Joshua. And so when we read the word Jesus today, I want you to read it just for today. I want you to read it as Joshua. Now, that's not the only name that's been anglicized for our English Bible. We're English, right? Does anyone here speak Greek? No, I don't either. Okay? So we're all in the same basket. We have to use a translation. But John is actually the Hebrew word Yohanan. The book of James is actually the book of Jacob. Okay? And the book of Peter is actually the book of Kepha. That were their names. That were the Hebrew names. They were Hebrews, right? And so if we can get our head around this, our Bible is culturally relevant to us. We're English. We speak English, okay? Now, I'm not saying we need to go back and call people by their Hebrew names. Do not get that from today's message, okay? I am going to continue to call my Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus, for the rest of my life. That's the first name that I knew him by. Some people make an argument out of this, and they insist on calling Jesus Yeshua and things like that. Let's make the things that make for peace and not for war, okay? It's not worth fighting over. But today, we're going to call him my Lord Joshua, Joshua, or my Lord Jehoshua. So stick with me, okay? So the first thing, we're going to go back over all those points. I'm going to go as fast as I can, okay? We're going to go back over those points. Captain. Joshua was the captain. He first appears in the Bible as the captain of the army, right? Fighting the Amalekites. And we have Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And you know something? If you go have a look really quickly in Isaiah 59, and you read Isaiah 59, verses 16 to 21, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and for a helmet salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for a clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will pay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this covenant is with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And so we have, the Lord is my banner. In the very first account of Joshua, the Lord is my banner. And here in Isaiah we have, when the enemy comes in with the flood, I will lift up a standard. I'll lift up a banner against him. Okay, and it's a prophecy of Christ. And the Redeemer shall come into Zion. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. So the very first appearance of Joshua is linked to a prophecy regarding Christ. Also, Joshua was the captain of the host of Israel, right? Well, speaking of the Lord Joshua Christ, in Hebrews 2:10-11, for it became him, for whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ is the captain of our salvation, just like Joshua is the captain of Israel. A minister. Joshua was the minister of Moses. Do you remember that? Luke 22:24-27. And there was strife amongst the disciples, which should be accounted the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them shall be called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest amongst you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat, or is he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as one that serves. Jesus came as a servant. In Matthew 20:28 and Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, not to be served, but to serve, to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. So as Joshua was a servant, did Christ come as a king with a big stick and tell everyone what to do? No, neither did Joshua. So our Lord Joshua the Christ came as a humble servant. Fasting. Joshua is up the mount fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. We have the account in Matthew 4:2 that Jesus fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. Consecrated. In Exodus 33:11, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Do you remember the story when our Lord Joshua the Christ was only a young man at age 12? He went up to Jerusalem for the feast. And when his family departed for home and went a day's journey, they sought for him amongst their kinfolk and acquaintance and found him not. And turned back to Jerusalem after 3 days, and they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee for thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Luke 2:43-49. And so Jesus wanted to be in the temple like Joshua wanted to be in the temple. Joshua wanted to be in the temple like Joshua wanted to be in the temple. Okay? I can't stop calling him Jesus. I mean, it's a long, many years of habit here. Okay, loyal. Joshua was loyal to Moses' honor, and so was our Lord Joshua Christ in John 12:28. "Father, glorify thy name." And then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." He was chosen. The tribe of Ephraim, Oshea the son of Nun, was chosen. In Revelation 13:8, it says, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And also in Revelation 17:8. So he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was chosen. He was a chosen from a very long time ago to fulfill this role. Fear and faith. Caleb and Joshua cried out, "The Lord is with us, fear them not." In Joseph's dream, the angel told him that his son, Jehoshua, quoting the prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." So his name was to be Jehoshua. He said that, "You shall call his name Jehoshua." And then he gave this prophecy, his name will also be Emmanuel, the Lord with us. And what did Joshua say? "God is with us, fear them not." And so our Lord Joshua the Christ also spoke to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Christ also told his disciples constantly to fear not in Luke 12:7-32, Matthew 10:31, John 12:15, Acts 27:25, and Revelation 1:17. Did you get all them, Elizabeth? And through Christ, we receive the spirit of adoption and are delivered from the spirit of bondage to fear, Romans 8:15. And that Christ's perfect love casts out fear. And as we read already in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, or God be with us, who can be against us? And God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with you. Don't you feel him in your own heart today? Yeah. God is with you. Do not be afraid. And so like Caleb and Joshua, who were filled with faith instead of fear, they were not afraid. Okay, filled with the Spirit. Joshua was filled with the Spirit after Moses laid his hand on him. Jesus, when he first went to the temple, he picked up the scroll, quoting Isaiah 61:1-2. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Obviously, he had to be for all the miracles that he did. Acts 10:38, Peter, speaking to Cornelius' household, told how God anointed Jehoshua, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God healed. God worked through him by his Holy Spirit power. Praise the Lord. He was filled with the Word. Joshua was exhorted to read and study God's word, that the book of the law would not depart out of his mouth, and that he would meditate therein day and night. God would then make his way prosperous and have good success. In the very opening revelation of Jesus, in John 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Our Lord Jehoshua Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word. You can't be much more filled with the Word than being the Word. And so we see that Jesus is the Word of God. Prudent. As Joshua was prudent, so was our Lord Joshua. In John 2, 23, 25, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jehoshua did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Again in John 6, 14 and 15, then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jehoshua had done, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jehoshua therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And so he was prudent, he was careful, he was wise, was our Lord Jesus. He was humble. Joshua magnified the Lord, not himself, and showed himself a truly humble servant leader. In reading Isaiah, as it's recorded in Acts 32:37, the Ethiopian eunuch began reading, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jehoshua, Christ, the Son of God. You can't be much more humble than letting someone take your life away from you unjustly and undeservedly. Philippians 2 verses 5 and 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jehoshua, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Lord Jehoshua the Christ humbled himself and died unto death, the Creator dying on the cross to reconcile the creation. He who should have been worshipped and honoured died. He lived a life of privation, healing, giving, serving, and then offered his own life a sacrifice of redeeming love. Miracles. God is a miracle-working God, and Joshua and all Israel came over the Jordan on dry ground. And God can do all things. Our Lord Joshua the Christ, the Son of God, went everywhere doing miracles. He healed the sick, he raised the dead. He made the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the blind to see, turned the water into wine, fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 4,000 men with 7 loaves, walked on water, calmed the raging storm, cast out demons, and was transfigured before him. Okay? The miracle of crossing the Jordan that Joshua did is a type. We cross from this life to eternal life through death. Okay? It's a type. It's a shadow. And our Lord takes us over on dry ground and delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15. Christ has won the victory, defeated the devil, and delivered us from the bondage and the fear of death. So we can cross the Jordan on dry ground. There is no fear of death for the Christian. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? And we triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest miracle of all, talking about the miracles that Jesus does, is that he can take a vile sinner such as you and I and transform us by his mighty power and grace into the image of his own dear Son. Praise the Lord. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Compassion. Joshua had compassion on the fearful congregation after the men of Ai had killed 36 of the Israelites. He camped amongst them the next day and then he went before them. Repeatedly in the Gospels, likewise, it tells us that our Lord Jehoshua was moved with compassion and that he had compassion on them. Mark 14, 14, 15, 32, 20, 34, Mark 1, 40, 1, 41, 5, 19, 6, 34, 8, 2, and Luke 7, 13. Hebrews 5, 1 to 2 tells us, for every high priest can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for the Lord, for that he himself also is compassed about with infirmity. And seeing then that we have such a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Jehoshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The great love and compassion of our Lord Jehoshua Christ to his lost sheep, to bring them back to the fold of God. So Jesus has compassion on us, like Joshua had compassion on the people. And the last point, the courage, obedience, determination and commitment that Joshua obeyed God, he was particular to obey. He had great courage. Remember the guy with the drawn sword in the face of things that his eyes could not see or his brain comprehend. Walk into the Jordan River and it's going to part before you, but the Jordan River's still there. Give a shout and the enemy and the walls will fall down. They're 10 metres thick. They're still there. Okay, everyone shout. You know? And so he was obedient. He did the things he was asked to, even though his eyes gave him a completely different story. And our Lord Jehoshua the Christ was also obedient. He was particular to obey. And he said, "For I always do those things that please the Father. Also, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me." John 8, 28, 29. Can we say that? Can we say, like our Lord Jehoshua, "I only do those things that please my Father"? Can he be our example to us? The disciples were astonished when Jehoshua went back to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead. "Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and you want to go back there?" John 11, 8. But our Lord knew that he had to face death. He must be killed and on the third day rise again. And he had to fulfill the type of Jonah that was 3 days and nights in the whale's belly. What did that mean to Jesus? Have we ever thought what that meant? He was fully God and he was fully man. And as a man, you can go, "Well, okay, we've got to die. I guess that's okay." But God, fully God, agreeing to die. What does that mean? What would that be like for Jesus? In Matthew 26, it gives us a glimpse into what that was like for Jesus. And let me just read from 36 to 46. Matthew 26. "Then came Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as ye willed.' And he came to his disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not be passed away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." And I had a note. I went and looked up those words where it says that he was sorrowful, exceedingly sorrowful. And in Mark 14, it says there that he was sore amazed and to be very heavy. And that was utterly astounded, frightened, greatly sore amazed. And the other word was to be in distress of mind, to be full of heaviness, to be very heavy. And those English, old English words don't mean what they mean to us. He was in a bad way. Our Lord Jesus was in a bad way. He knew what was coming. Now, if that were you, and you had the option, your freedom's your own, what would you do? And yet we see Jesus, our Lord Jehoshua, his courage, his obedience, his determination, and his commitment. And Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9, speaking of our Lord Joshua the Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. What did it mean for God to die? We don't know, but we do know that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And so our Lord Jehoshua Christ had courage, obedience, determination, and commitment, and became the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So in conclusion, Joshua and the Lord Joshua Christ. Joshua was an inspiring, prophetic life. And may we too say, as he did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and live a life of service to the Lord. Our Lord Joshua Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, our Saviour, our King, he is worthy to receive all glory and honour and power. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory forever and ever. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Blessing and honour, glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And finally, one last story from Joshua. Children, it's been a big long Sunday school lesson all day long about Joshua. But there was one more story. I said we're going to get back to Rahab. You know, Rahab received the spies into her house. She hid them. Okay? And some men came looking for them. She sent them out another way. Said, "But I think they're over there." And they took off running after them. They weren't. They were hidden under the flax on Rahab's roof. And Rahab said, "I'm going to let you go. After those guys are cleared off, I'm going to let you out the window and you can go and you can be free." And she knew that the Israelites were going to destroy Jericho, and she pleaded for deliverance for her family and her father's house. And the spies said to her, these two men, they said, "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line," she had a strong red rope that she was about to let them down with, "you shall bind this in the window which you let us down by, and you shall bring your father and your mother, your brothers and your sisters, and all your father's household home into your house with you. And it shall be that whosoever goes out the doors of this house, his blood is going to be on his head, and we will be guiltless. However, if anything happens to anybody inside this house, the blood's going to be on our head. Agreed?" She said, "Yes, I agree. According to your words, so let it be." And so she sent them away and they departed. And do you know what she did? Do you know what Rahab did right then? She took that red rope right then and bound it in her window.
Yeah.
And she bound the scarlet line in the window. So the last point that I have for you today from the story of Rahab: when is salvation? Today is the day of salvation. Today you can bind that red cord in your window,
yes,
and be saved. Don't wait. Don't wait till you see that army compassing the walls. Don't wait until death is hard on your heels. Today,
yes,
is the day of salvation. Today the Lord Jehoshua Christ stands and calls, "Come unto me." And so take that scarlet line and bind it in your window. Let us stand and pray.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name.
Yeah.
We lift up your holy name, you who died on the cross, who shed your blood to reconcile man, sinful man, back to our Father in heaven. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the prophecies going before, that we can see you clearly shown in Joshua, the captain of the host. Thank you for your life of selfless service to us. Thank you for your redeeming love, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray now that you would please strengthen us for those things that you may have spoken to us from the life of Joshua, the life of Jesus. Strengthen us and give us grace that we might overcome besetting sins, bad habits, that we might live a life of faith and obedience, that you would empower our hands and our feet, Lord Jesus, to walk as you walked,
yes,
and to be victorious. Thank you for being our God. We love you and we praise your holy name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Okay. Please be seated. I just wanted to say, just before we disperse, a big thank you to all the people who were